Let me know if it's recording.
Okay, we're going.
Okay. Give me a moment. All right, so CG, I worked really hard on this. Again, I didn't really tell anybody, but it's up on the site. And this is what our new promo is. Or not a promo, but our image for a podcast. And I think it fits really well.
What?
Dude, calm down. God, I think he's dying. I don't know.
Yeah, this doesn't sound good. He sounds like he's having trouble.
Is it too macrosy for you? I mean, is the color wrong? So I think I did a pretty good job. I don't know about you.
Good character selection, too.
Why do I have to be her?
Oh, okay.
Who else sings?
Well, no, I mean, like, no. Like, here, I thought about it, too. Okay, so, like, I'm Roy, because, like, I have blonde hair, I'm a cool guy, I drink a lot, and I do a podcast when I'm drunk. And then John's Max, because Max is a really cool character, and I just see John as Max. Josh, I think, is more otaku than any of us. And a nerd, but he can be cool too. And so you're good at Minmay because, like, first of all, you got a crown and some blue hair. You annoy everybody. You get up on our nerves sometimes. You are a main point to the series. You do like to sing, and you're in a big ass chair. I don't see how you have a problem with that. If you think you have a problem with it, I think it fits
you know
fine.
What? Fuck you. Fuck you hard. I want to grab you, shove you onto the ground, rip open your pants, shove a penis up your ass.
Like, enough. Or anything,
but I think it looks good. I don't know.
The fuck? What?
I'm the token gay guy.
How much of that did he hear?
This is something about, like, shoving something up someone's ass.
Yeah, great time to walk in. Although, it's not any better in context, to be fair.
It actually is exactly what it sounds like.
Shoving shit up people's asses. There are a lot of pretend gays on my floor.
Pretend gays? What?
Yeah. A lot of repressed homosexuality on my floor.
What do you mean?
Arabs who can't come to terms with absolute failure in heterosexuality. Like, attempt to essentially scapegoat their ways on the homosexual. It's a bunch of bullshit on my floor. What, is this recording?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Dude, you'd be part of our... This is probably going to be a future promo, maybe, one day.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay.
You're done! With the yawning!
Have we even talked about MS Igloo yet?
No.
Well, Once she shuts the hell up.
Kick him.
No.
Kick you hard in the nads. No way you don't have them.
Should I?
Yes, I do. Do you want me to prove it?
No. I think we're good.
I think not.
No, I'm sure you want me to prove it.
I didn't say I wanted you to prove it, that you had nads.
Yes, you do. You wanted me to prove it.
Stop putting words that are never there in my mouth.
Oh, I'm putting something in your mouth.
I'm just glad
you walked right into that one.
There's no chat picture on my version of Skype. I'm just glad of that. Because I know it's coming.
Yeah, this isn't chat roulette or anything like that.
Okay, so the episode's already started.
But we're like not doing anything.
We haven't even done
Let's talk about Gundam Igloo, where Gundams live in igloos and they turn into igloos.
Okay, alright, hold up. Okay, let's do some introductions. This is Jefferson from the Anime Guru Podcast. I am on the KKK Podcast, the podcast that is the first and foremost in the Aryan Brotherhood and anime related, because, you know, Japan and Germany are basically the same country. So, onwards towards the master race.
They make it very official that they're part of the same country in Igloo, that's for sure.
We do have a lot of German listeners out there, so.
That's true. We're big in Germany.
This is America. Lots of Germans here.
We have one Japanese.
I'm actually
listener.
German by heritage, by the way.
I am too.
I'm French. You people destroyed my country.
Okay,
hey, man, you opened the door for us just to walk in, but I wasn't there, so we're not going to get into that.
Okay, all right.
We had the mention of the wall.
Let's end this colonialist nonsense and get on to some MS Igloo, guys.
I don't even know what Igloo is.
You don't have to worry. Okay.
We're going to explain everything to you and spoil the heck out of it.
Boy! I love spoilers. Does it have the creamy filling inside?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think Jeff's ever met our resident CG. I don't know if he listened to our podcast, which... I don't know if that's really good or bad. Alright, well that's good. Well, he joins up every once in a while. And he does have some interesting stuff to say, but... CG is kind of our other... He's our Minmay to our Macross universe, you could say.
Okay. Alright.
Why do I have to be Minmay? Why?
I guess the rest of us haven't done introductions.
I don't have a thick accent.
Yeah. I've already introduced ourselves, so let's go ahead and get started.
I'm John, and Zionic and Josh are also here.
Hello.
Along with Jeffrey and CG.
Hi.
Yeah, so let's get started. You're right.
So, we're going to talk about igloos. You know, Eskimos live in igloos, and they live in Canada.
Okay, no. All right. So, to start off with what MS Igloo is,
it's a Microsoft Igloo.
CG, shut up!
Should I kick CG? He's really ruining this.
I'll shut up.
Okay, all right. So, like, you know, recent years, we've gotten a shit ton of alternate universe. Because, you know, it kind of gets tiring when you just have, like, nothing but Universal Century, nothing but sequels to the original Gundam. And, we got, like, this whole decade of nothing but this. And so UC fans were kind of left out. I mean, we did get a lot of Tamina shows. We did get, like, Double Zeta, Zeta, all that shit.
Victory.
Yeah. Yeah, and Victory, okay.
SC Gundam Force.
What?
Okay.
That doesn't count, CG.
Is that
Yes, it does.
Was Tomino involved in that? At all?
I don't think so.
He was involved in some super deformed Gundams.
Yeah, in the 80s.
But
yeah.
That aside... Right,
the originals, yeah.
But that aside, up until Unicorn, we haven't really had much in terms of the Universal Century... And to essentially say, UC fans, okay, you keep buying our toys. Bandai hasn't forgotten about you. They essentially decided to say, okay, we got some CG, got a little bit of money. Let's just throw out something for a whole hardcore UC fans. I haven't seen the first MS Igloo, but I have seen the second MS Igloo. We did talk about the second MS Igloo on an old episode. Well, can't really say old episode of the Anime Guru podcast, where it's just like me going all like, none of this makes any sense. The black people look kind of racist.
They were like Augustus Cole from Gears of War. So it was like Gears of War Gundam, where he's like, bring it on, Zaku's. It's the Cole train. I don't know.
So can you guys tell me what happened or what like the first MS Igloo series is about? Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's about like the Zeon perspective of the 1 year war. Which is not usually shown in Gundam series. I think one of the episodes was about the colony drop, wasn't it?
Yeah, my intention was to like skim to the first 6 episodes of the original Igloo, but I've had a lot of crap to do with like school and some other things going on. But I can kind of base off memory what I remember like a few years ago from watching it. But pretty much the first MS Igloo was 6 episodes, or it was 3 in one area, and then a couple years later did another 3 that are all tied together. But it's basically like a experimental Zeon unit that goes out and tests out like mobile armors and other like mechanical machines, and in order to benefit from the war, because they're kind of like an experimental unit that are just there to test things out for the Zeon if they work or not. But the first episode starts out with like a huge like cannon that they designed to take out, which is like a thermal nuclear pulse weapon or something that they go to use to test out against like, you know, the Federation warships in the Battle of Loom. But of course but pretty much with the Zeon, the experimental core or whatever that the show's around, you know, they go out there to test a weapon, but then like all of a sudden there's like the weapon that the Zeon are going to use from now on kind of just show up all of a sudden. And it's kind of like, you know, what's the point of us having an experimental unit when, you know, this is just going to be thrown out anyways. But the first episode is about like this huge, you know, super cannon that can shoot at ships and like disarm them. But of course that gets interrupted by the MS units that actually come in, which is, you know, winds up being the whole premise of Mobile Suit Gundam, which is where the Zaku's come in and actually take the upper hand of the Battle of Loom, which is at the same time they're going to be able to drop a colony on Jaburo. And that was actually pretty interesting. But what I really liked about it was like the spaceships and MS Igloo. It's like taking out your car into space and how maneuverable it is. It's something out of Initial D where, like, no, like, I'm dead serious. Like, at one scene, like, the beginning, there's a bunch of there's, like, two or three Solimus-class carriers, and they're like, oh, snap, Zeon. So, like, the driver's pulling the e-brake, and the ship just does a 180 in space and then goes, like, darts after it, an overdrive or something. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I didn't even know ships can move like that in space.
The only ship designs that have ever made sense to me are like the Legend of the Galactic Hero ship designs. And those are dope. But I don't know. I think I like the designs.
I haven't seen that series yet, but I do want to check it out eventually.
Oh, yeah. The Spartanian class fighters are probably the only things that make, like, I don't know. I suppose physical sense in terms of space, I think they make a lot more sense than mobile suits. But that aside, do we get a lot of space battles in the first few episodes?
Oh yeah, it's actually really cool. Like, I mean, it's done very well. It's something out of like a video game cutscene CGI at the time. In the first episode, like, you see Char's mobile suit show up. He doesn't talk or anything, but he's basically, you get to see Char's, you know, Zaku show off at the Battle of Loom, and like they do this whole like 360 rotation of him taking out an entire like a ship's. It's not a cockpit, but like the bridge, and it's just him plugging in like 20 bullets in the bridge, and then the ship just explodes. Full rotation around it. What?
And then everyone's like, "It's the Red Comet."
Yeah, but the history of the Red Comet is that he gets his name from the Battle of Loom, because it takes out 5 enemy warships, but I mean, his suit's already red, and he's not a lieutenant commander, or I'm not sure if he was by that time. They just consider him as a regular lieutenant or something.
Hmm.
I don't remember. They actually show Char in this show?
Just the mobile suit, not the character himself.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
There's not any major characters from the other shows in this, I don't think.
I mean, they make mentions like Giran and Cassilia Zabi show up, but you mostly hear their like voiceovers.
Yeah.
That's really about it.
I think that's what I actually kind of like about the idea of MS Igloos, because there is like, okay, we have a whole war we can talk about. We can make cool little small stories here and there, and like just that idea is really cool. And MS Igloo 2, The Gravity Front, which is made a couple years later, which is different in that it shows it from the perspective of the Federation, and is really cool because each episode the Federation just keeps getting higher and higher technology. You start with the first episode of like a couple of black people and really great World War II aesthetic, and they're essentially just like using bazookas against Zaku's.
Yeah, it was something out of like modern day mortars and like bazookas and everything against like, you know, the group of Zaku's. And they managed to take
it
out or something.
Sorry. Yeah.
We
see that again in episode 4 in Unicorn. That was so awesome. Anyways, and like then like the second episode of The Gravity Front is really sick when we just get like a bunch of tanks going after Zaku and like a huge tank battle. Did this one have like the weird, like new type, Death God moments? Or
The first MS Igloo, not really. It was mostly stationed around like the group of people that are the experimental unit. I guess we can, if you want to skip ahead to talk about the second one, we can do that, and then we can go back to the first one. It doesn't really matter.
Which one was the one that had like a tank? I think it was called like the Jotunheimer or something like that.
Oh, it's I know in the video games, like, they've called it the Hildolf. I think it's the Hildolf or something. That was in the second episode.
I think that's right.
Yeah, because, like, the second episode of the first Igloo was a bunch of Federation soldiers were able to jack some Zaku's. So they go to these supply bases in, like, Arizona or New Mexico. That's when, like, the Zeon forces were coming in to the west of the states.
Yeah, it was Arizona. You're right.
Yeah, so anyways, like, they go over there, like, hey, we need some ammo. And then they would, like, backstab the Zeon. So they make the whole first Igloo makes the Zeon, like, they don't look as bad as the Federation or something. Like, the Federation, they're gonna, you know, backstab you and shoot you with, like, full of, you know, holes if they jack your Zaku's. You know, oh, gasp.
Yeah, the Federation is kind of run by pricks.
Yeah, but of course, like, they've seen the, like, you know, through the rest of the Mobile Suit Gundam series, it's always like, oh, the Zeon are the biggest dicks out of the Federation, and, you know, Zeon are bigger dicks than the Federation forces, and this one is kind of like switch gear somewhat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's all the same, really, but, like, the second one, it's, they get a guy that basically, like, has, like, tic-tac aspirin pills or acid, I don't know, but he's able to, like, pop those in his mouth while he's able to, like, you know, they drop them onto the area that all the Zaku team is at. And he's able to take them out one by one with, like, this huge cannon. It's, like, a huge artillery cannon from, like, a train gun or whatever. And then, of course, but it's not only that. It's able to transform into, like a top part of a Zaku as, like, you know, for, like, in close combat. Like, it's got, like, a machine gun and, of course, a heat hawk. And it's able to take out, like, the rest of the group while, of course, the guy dies. I know the third episode. Yeah, the third episode was about this guy that has it's like the judo mobile suit, which apparently he was trying to design mobile suits to be the main force of the Zeon army, but then like the Zeonic manufacturing unit are the ones that was like that actually got the project to actually make the Zaku's themselves. And this guy's always been laughed at because of like every time they always have him like design something. He's kind of like this Tony Stark of Zeon, because they'll design a mobile suit, but it doesn't go too well where like malfunction. He'd be like a laughing stock. So then they actually do like a test unit like in space with the Zudo, and he's actually able to outrun the. if I remember, he's actually able to outrun the GM's like, it's like weird. Like he's able to like go as fast as light around the Earth. Like it looks like he's like doing laps around the planet with the Zaku. Huh. It's just like the whole like spacing and everything, and it was something I like the first Superman where Superman goes back in time by rotating the Earth around. It's kind of something like that, but like it sounds like he's never in, like he's going around the Earth in like 5 seconds or something. It's kind of weird, but then eventually his mobile suit breaks up when he goes past like the limit or something, and he's like, "Yeah, my mobile suit was able to make it," and then it just blows up, and nothing really happens. But again, like the experimental unit was actually able to be part of the that kind of planning on that suit or whatever.
So this was basically the first three OAV things that they made, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Uh-huh. I guess that's pretty cool. I guess one thing I'd like to interject before we move on a little bit is that the name is not Gundam, and I like that. I like that there are no Gundams in this show. I mean, I suppose I kind of have like this sort of fetish for grunt units, and the Gundam kind of goes against that. Andy and I go back and forth about how much we hate Gundams and how much GMs and Zakus are awesome. Except he hates the GM, but I love the GM. I love everything about the GM.
GMs are so sexy. It's interesting to see different mobile suits instead of just the Gundam all the time. You're right. A lot of the modern Gundam shows really overdo like the amount of Gundams, you know, like 00 and everything. They have, well, like 6 Gundams in that show or something. And Seed, you know, there's a...
And Gundam Wing. Don't forget that.
Wing, of course. Wing started it, probably.
Yeah,
G Gundam, guys.
G Gundam, I have a hard time even thinking of as Gundam because it's so different. But yeah, you're right. That has a ton of them, too.
Everything's a Gundam in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Gundam.
Cool. Double Gundam and all that. Yeah.
The margarita or tequila Gundam or whatever it was called.
Racist. But I can't stress to everybody, to non-GM believers, that the GM is what won the war for freedom, man. For freedom. Yeah. Freedom. Federation, motherfuckers.
For the Titans.
Fuck yeah. Earth. Peace.
Gassing some colonies. They don't agree with us? F them. We're going to gas that shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the Titan way.
Titan way. Or Zeon way. Remember
0083? That's true.
I mean, I have nightmares about that still.
What, the series?
Oh, wait, no, that was Athem's team. Never mind. Fuck. Okay. Athem's team had...
Yeah.
Zaku's gassing colonies. What am I thinking?
0083 was nothing but them jacking stuff all the time. I mean, Shima got 2 colonies just to say, I need these. And then she just takes off with them. That's what happened.
Gotta drop it into space, motherfucker.
That's why I thought it was so cool. Like, it's, I know, like, in Gundam, they made the running joke of, like, Gundam has this thing of, like, oh, I need this. And it's always, like, they always jack everything in any Gundam series at all. And the fact that I think Seema was able to take 2 colonies is like, it makes her the highest of Gundam jackings out there.
True. True.
I mean, like, yeah, I'll take your mobile suit, but I got these 2 colony cylinders. What am I going to do with them? I don't care.
All she did was destroy North America. That's all.
Yeah, that doesn't count it for anything. Destroy the harvest, whatever. Like no one's going to miss Wisconsin or Michigan or, like, Idaho. Nobody lives there.
Except white people. They aren't people.
White Northwest.
We're going to do a twist on history and deny the white man his part of humanism, motherfuckers. Anyways, let's move on to the next 3 episodes.
Okay, yeah. So this goes into the gravity front. Which is basically...
Apocalypse 0079.
Yeah, that was it. I'm looking at the wrong Wikipedia thing on this article, because I have to, like, kind of skim through these episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, we hadn't even gotten to the Abawa coup episodes.
I know.
Not even hiding that we're just going off Wikipedia. This is great.
I fully admit that. I have to use Wikipedia sometimes, which is... most of the time.
Every podcaster, Anime World Order, best podcast ever.
Yeah, they'll admit it. Like, what's Wikipedia say? And Daryl Strat's like, this.
We do this, like, every episode, where we have Wikipedia up to look up, like, character names and stuff.
Andy has me edit that out.
Too much work.
We barely do some editing. Like, the only editing I would do is, like, when I have to, like, have a nasty cough and I can't mute it in time.
Editing reminds me why I live. So, there.
Yeah, we add in, like, songs at the start and the end, and that's about it.
That's about as much effort as I want to put into this, unless and it's like previous. Something I have to like.
Got to cut out all the times I say nigga. Fuck. Got to censor all. Right
now, I have to edit it. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry.
God, I don't feel like doing it though.
We've got a week. It's okay.
Well, I think we can have like a PSA, like don't ever say the N-word unless you're. No, we're not going to get into that.
It's okay. We just played it in the. We just played gangsta rap song "Nigga Nigga Nigga" for our intro one time, and Andy was all like, "Shorten this." And we're like, "But it's the people I want to be a part of."
Why eat so much chicken?
Whatever.
I think that's one of the lyrics. Okay, no Gundam. Anyways, so Apocalypse 0079 starts out with this guy who likes to. He's like a born sailor fisher in space. And he has like a shark tooth around his neck, and he's like, "Yeah, my grandfather like battled sharks in the colony on Side 3, which I didn't even think Side 3 had an ocean to begin with to harvest a shark, which doesn't make any shit sense or something. But he was like, his grandfather's on Earth, or I don't know. But anyways, they had their design for this unit is to because they want to stop the Federation ships from going from Jaburo up into space, which is just nothing but a straight shot up. It's not like a weird angle." It's just like a straight shot just to break the gravity or whatever. I don't know. But they're able to. It's like a dive bomb where they try to, like, drop this person in. And they try these different ways where they try to take out the ships. And apparently they're able to retrieve the unit. And it's like a once a week thing. They have to go over Jaburo, get caught, and drop.
Hold up. Is there a general story to this part? Because I heard that there was. Or is it just like each thing being its own individual thing?
No, well, there's kind of a story arc because this is kind of leading up to and including the Battle of Abawaku.
Okay. Yeah.
But they finally have to drop him, but like they figured out to drop the prototype behind the ships, and then like he's able to shoot a bunch of laser beams and is able to take out like two ships, and then it gets destroyed. And then they were like, "Oh, this guy's grandfather didn't die on the ocean; he died at Side 3," and they like didn't want to tell him or something. And I'm like, it doesn't really matter, whatever. But, you know, it was a guy who was, like, you know, on the edge. He loved being near the ocean and everything, which I thought was kind of cool. But we actually get into this two-part episode of, or they actually go to Abawaku to fight the final battle. And one of the characters, she's like this redhead, but she has a younger brother that joins up with, like, this younger group of, like, Zeon youths. And the Zeon have, like, these pod units that are, like, balls, but they're, like, have more guns on them. So it's, like, one big ball with, like, three bazookas and, like, five machine guns or something and a Heehawk. And it has little arms where it can, like, grab the stuff and be able to use it. And it's actually kind of really better equipped than a ball because a ball just has, like, a gun on it.
Or whoa. Okay. So yeah. Zeon has their own ball? What the fuck?
Yeah, and it's, like, even better than the Federation balls, literally.
What?
Like how much crap they add to it. Yeah.
I just remember the ball. Is this indeed the ball's greatest moment?
Yeah, it's like the Zeon want to outdo the ball. So then, like, I mean, it's really because they throw all their funding into, like, the Gelgoog design and those units and, like, making the Zeon. So they guess they have a few extra bucks left over to make some balls.
So that GMs can kick them around at Abawaku.
Yeah.
I gotta remind everybody, that happened. That happened in the third movie. Balls got kicked around by Zaku's. GMs gotta have their moment in glory.
Yeah, they gotta have their turn for kicking the Zeon's balls.
Okay, literally. so it's like the ball, like the big thing in this episode. Or what's the big
like the last two they are like, but basically, the redhead girl, that's part of the ship. Like, her brother joins in. Like, they're able to join up, and of course, they go outside to battle. And her brother dies, and then she kind of has like this whole like secluded, insane moment where she's like huddled in her cabin, and she doesn't want to do anything. And then they're like okay, well, you know, just keep an eye on her kind of thing. But then they get in the sixth episode, they get a huge mobile armor. And it's a It's called a big ring. It's called a big ring, and it's basically like it. it's kind of like a Bigro, but it's actually able to like supply the Xeon balls. Like they're actually able to dock inside of it and grab weapons and go out and battle some more. And the main guy, there's the main tester or whatever or who supervises it. It's like this. He's got, you know, he's very Aryan too. But he's actually able to like drive around in it like it's a big SUV in space or something, just to like go out and like cover for like the Xeon ball units to get supplied, and then they go out and like, you know, get kicked around from the GMs and come back and get more stuff.
The fuck is that? God, that is a monster.
It's
I'm
on
just looking at this.
Probably Google Images if you're looking it up. Yeah, it's spelled Bigrang.
That is.
That's what I'm reading off of Wikipedia.
I like when they name these things in Gundam just big whatever, you know, like the big cannon in Double Zeta or in Victory or whatever it was in.
Big Zom.
Big Zom.
Big Zom, yeah. That too. Yeah.
0079. That is kind of sexy. Kind of want that. Bandai make a toy of this. I will buy it.
Make up one 450 scale model kit so it can take up my entire apartment.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, like if you make the kit, it's designed to go like to fit in the size of like a standard Japanese apartment. So like when you make it, you have to make sure that the port of the big ring is like that. You have to match it up to your front door. So when you open the door, you're basically walking inside the big ring.
I'm just waiting for the SD Shamblo. I'm only guessing that it's gonna exist, but I'm just hoping that it exists. I think it might. Shamblo. I think I like Shamblo more.
I was gonna say like the bringing the Zutas for the last two episodes too. Like they're actually able to retreat from a Bawaku, and they're kind of brought up too. So like the Zuta units aren't like entirely thrown out. But I think with that episode where like the pilot is actually able to test pilot it, where it's outrunning the GMs or something. I guess the Xeon are like, well, we can make a few units of these. But that whole episode of them going around the planet was like a drag race. And the Zuta was like the souped-up Honda Civic on the road compared to like the GMs being like a, you know, a Toyota hybrid or something. It was something of that magnitude. But, all right, so anyways, like we go into the gravity front, which is this, you know, Igloo 2, which we meet up with the Xeon are landing on Earth. And it's
okay,
pretty much the Federation. Yeah, go ahead and talk about
okay,
it.
Okay.
I got to
respond. This is really badass because, you know, it's all about the Federation, you know, and Federation is the heroes because they're fighting for freedom. They're fighting for freedom, as we know from the end of the first Gundam movie, the only ideological Congress-like part, Xeon's dictatorship, motherfucker's shit ass. Okay. So each of these episodes, okay, they're basically all standalone, and they're all really badass. And in the first episode, it's all about just Man versus Zaku. Okay, now you can guess how that goes. Man wins. Whatever. Zaku wins. And in the second episode, it's about Tank versus Zaku. And in the last episode, it's about Gun Tank versus Zaku. And you know, the Gun Tank is like the best design from 0079. That's not the GM or the gun cannon. Well, I mean, I don't know. GMs are the best. But maybe the ball. But yeah.
It's such really a toss-up between them.
The ball.
The ball's
the ball,
number one.
Or GM. I don't know.
The ball's
Anyways,
number one.
Balls. Anyways, first episode is awesome because there are black people with hilarious mouths. We couldn't find the right picture to show how absolutely racist these character designs are.
And also, like, the thing about what kind of, if I had a complaint about the CG of the character designs, even though this is probably done in 3D Maya, there was a kind of bit of gaps between their teeth or something. That was something I kind of noticed.
Because they can't afford dentists. Because they're black. Because too much.
Well, I thought the white guy, the lieutenant, like I'm pulling up the names, and it's Lieutenant Ben Barberry, which I thought it was Bar Brady from South Park when I first read it.
Yeah.
Officer, yeah. Bar Brady.
We lost.
And then
Josh.
There's something really weird introduced like towards the end, like this episode, and is prevalent in every episode. It's absolutely bizarre is this whole concept of the fucking Shinigamis. makes no fucking sense, especially when, like, in the World War II esque look of the show, because they really, really hype up that it's like, guys, it's totally the World War II, the good war against Zeon, guys. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see this, like, this ghost just being all like, I brought death, guys.
She is a hot ghost, by the way.
Sexy.
I thought she was
ghost.
Pretty hot. Yeah, she is pretty sexy.
Yeah, it makes no sense to have a Shinigami in a mecha series like this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, like, the Shinigami has, like, split personality, because in, like, one episode, like, the last episode, all of a sudden she wants to help him. She's like, no!
Yeah, she wants to help that one girl, like, have an out-of-body experience, like, a second before she dies, just to realize that she screwed up. And she should have listened to, her commanding officer, which the guy is in all three of these episodes. But, no, I like, the first episode, they go against these three Zakus, and they're, like, and they're in Europe somewhere. And, so they're actually able to stage against them, and they're able to take out, like, two of them. Like, one of them they take out, the other one falls in, like, a huge pothole. That's actually able to encompass the whole Zaku, but then, like, a third one, like, pops out of this camouflage netting when it's just, like, the lieutenant's, like, you know, the last person left in a squad, and he just decides to go all Saving Private Ryan with pulling out his pistol and taking it on, which I thought was completely badass.
Yep.
And it didn't show him dying, either. It just kind of, like, I think, didn't it cut off? I don't, because I didn't see a body.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Yeah, I don't really remember him dying either. It's been a while since I've seen this show.
Yeah, me
same
too.
Here.
And I don't know. I just remember, like, not being at all familiar with the Universal Century or even what the 1 Year War was. Andy gave me no background. I'm just kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And I hadn't even seen, like, a lot of Gundam, except maybe, like, G Gundam up to that point, and maybe 0080. But anyways, yeah. I felt really lost, and I felt really, really out of touch with the show. And the show, if you're not in any way, shape, or form familiar with Gundam or what Gundam is or the Gundam world, then this show is definitely not for you. And if you're coming in and you're like a AU, C, fucking wing, G person, no, not necessarily hate on you, because G is awesome. Not all AU is awful. But, like, you're not going to really know what's going on. And this is definitely for, like, the older military otaku type people.
Oh. I think if people actually looked at this, like, if they knew something about, you know, Gundam in general, and they saw that, you know, they watch all the newer stuff, and then they see this, I mean, if they saw the Zaku designs, they're going to know it's related to the original series somewhat. And, like, you know, if you're watching, you know, if you're watching this first before the original series, it's not going to really make any sense to you. Unless you know something about the original series of what the original Gundam was like, and then you're like, okay, well, this is based off the Zeon Army, and these are Zakus, and Federation are fighting them, and some, you know, experimental units, and things like that.
If you would just read the Gundam novels and just know about the pubic hair necklaces, all of this would
be. Because that is all you need to know about Gundam, is that Sayla wants to give Amuro her pubic hair.
We'll explain it all.
It explains it all. You don't have to know anything else about Abaku. Nothing else.
Wait, I can't remember if Josh or you, John, mentioned that they're going to republish the Gundam novels, like, next year or something.
In America or in Japan?
I heard, I think it was in America, or at least I thought. I heard it from somebody.
No, it was not from me. But
I think it might have been from VQ, actually.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so then I'll have to spend $900 on, like, the original, like, 3-book collection, or try to hunt down the original ones from 2 decades ago.
Yeah, Viku has the originals, I think.
That doesn't surprise me that he would have the originals.
Yeah, he got them, like, years ago, but I think they're probably really expensive now.
And they're going to go down in price once they get re-released, I hope to God. But
yeah, maybe. There are not many copies, though, I don't think.
But, no, like, the second episode is about, like, this guy who's pretty much transferred to, like, a tank unit for the the Federation forces, and it's a guy by the name of Ray-Ban Surratt, which I think is Daryl Surratt's future son.
Yeah. I mean,
I think if Daryl ever has a son or a kid, he needs to name him Ray-Ban Surratt. He better.
Daryl makes an appearance in episode 4. Remember? Daryl? He's totally in on Bright Noah's ship. That was him. He's might have changed his last name. That was Daryl. What the fuck? Anyways, yeah.
The Gunna made Daryl Surratt in the show before there was ever a Daryl Surratt existing.
Wait, just to clarify, in the first episode had already showed that they were already like conducting Operation Odessa, right? Or
in Igloo 2, you mean?
Yeah.
They were like it starts out like in March or April is when they like the Zeon are starting to invade or go to that side of Europe. They're pushing out to like conquer all of Europe basically, and they're like in some little section or block of what's Federation controlled.
Does this episode start Operation Odessa episode 2?
It's I remember it starting like in March or April because it's like it's the whole three episodes take place within like 9 months.
Okay.
So like, and the second episode is something like, 2 or 3 months after the first episode or something like that.
Okay.
And it's mostly in Europe, I believe.
Europe, where there's no people or cities. Or wine. Just black people in World War II.
That's true. I mean, it's because I kind of thought of it now. Like, it looked like when the Zeon army invades, it looked like some sort of like random guerrilla group with like, from Africa with like old World War II weapons are trying to like take over the country.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, like in the future, like you wouldn't really expect to see MG-42s, but I don't know. Jinro had it, but Jinro was like in another universe.
Yeah.
And those were really awesome.
This episode is really cool because it's tanks versus Zaku's.
Yeah, and that's like, and the commander of the tank commander, who's like on his, he's basically got like one leg, sort of, a working leg, and he's like scarred to hell, but he's actually able to take the, Sergeant Surratt out. And like, yeah, they're going after Ozaku called the White Ogre, who's like wiped out his whole unit, and he's out there for revenge, and so they're actually able to take out, like, they go in there and take out the White Ogre. But, what was it? Yeah, they use like a smoke cloud, and then apparently, like the tank's actually able to get on top of like a down Zaku and like catches huge airtime while going into it or shooting at it or something. It was I thought it was like pretty ridiculous that it got that much air or something. At least that's what I remember.
And then we get like a really weird new type moment, like awkwardly thrown in right at the end.
because the tank commander's like, yeah, I survived. What then? I got the biggest pair of balls. This side of the Federation, and then and then the Shinigami shows up, and his tank explodes.
Yeah,
I was like, "Darn!"
Then of course, there's like he's like one subordinate. He's all like, "Hey guys, I can hear the cries, man. I can hear them. Were you in space? That's what I want to know." And then it looks like this room has suddenly got crowded. I'll be right back.
Sounds that way.
All right, but anyways, well, Jeff is getting resituated. The third episode is we get introduced to these gun tanks, which are supposed to be like advanced versions of the regular gun tank, and it has like one cannon and a bunch of rockets on the side. It's kind of like they merged together one of those big construction vehicles, like the actual like driver's cab or whatever, and merged into like a gun tank somehow. Like they kind of threw it in there. But with this one, it focuses around a woman who was betrayed by her Federation lover because she apparently, he was sold out to the Zeons and took some information, and that got her in jail to rot. And then she gets a chance to pilot these experimental gun tanks at the Battle of Odessa. And let me see. Yeah, and again, all these battles are really cool, but then, like, towards the end of the episode, let's see. Yeah, it was towards the end of the episode, they're actually able to take out one of the like land bases. It's kind of like the big trade for Xeon. They're called a Dabudi or something like that. And then apparently they take out one of them like by self-destructing their gun tank. And then they've wound up, there's a second one on the other side of like the battlefield. And so then the girl goes after the other one. And she finds out that the guy that betrayed her is actually on the Xeon craft. But of course she gets orders not to engage that land ship from the Xeon or to go after, but she ignores the orders. And it's like right before she gets there and detonates her gun tank, like the Shinigami shows up, and then they're actually able to console, like, "Oh, I still love you and everything, and please forgive me." And then they wind up blowing up anyways.
But then turns spy.
Yeah, he's actually a double. Yeah, the guy is actually a Federation double agent, which is his purpose was to actually try to capture the unit with him being on there, like somehow. And then that's pretty much episode 3.
And that was awesome because it was gun tanks versus Xeon.
Yeah, and it was like a maneuver. It's like getting like a maneuver if you were to like drive a Bobcat. Because I've driven Bobcats like that where you can like, you know, crank it and it goes around like it does a 360 in like 2 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And it's like having a Bobcat with a huge cannon and some rockets on it. And you're taking out like all these Zakus and Doms and everything. Yeah, this series does not disappoint when it comes to MS battles.
Oh, yes. And it gives a lot of airtime to units that really did not get a lot of screen time because, you know, the Gundam's like everything, man. Fuck you. Fuck everything else because we can beat the Gundam.
Yeah, we want our turn, yeah.
Amuro should have just decided to quit on the Gundam and just piloted the gun cannon. After Sayla stole it, that would have been made Gundam so much better.
You mean the gun tank or the gun cannon?
Gun cannon. He was never in a gun tank. Anyways, whatever. Enough trolling. Yeah. This part was really cool and interesting to watch because you see the Federation progress. And in the first episode, there's a pretty good reason why the Federation is behind. Because it's just like dudes with guns against Zakus. You know what that's going to happen, right? Right?
Yeah, it's like taking Rambo 2 and then against a Zaku. That is about as awesome as I can describe episode 1, kind of.
Rambo would have destroyed it, but I mean, these guys...
Well, if Rambo really existed in the Gundam universe, he wouldn't need a mobile suit. He would just go out there in space with a spacesuit and like an M60 and would have taken out the entire Xeon army somehow. But he does have to have his crossbow. So like, you know, you got a crossbow with some C4 on it and then an M60 and a bandana wrapped around a spacesuit and he's good to go. That's what they need to make next when it comes to like Gundam. It's just Rambo Gundam. And just having him taking out an entire like platoon of Zakus, and then he'll get that whole speech at the end of Rambo 2. He's like, "I want to be like those men. I want to go back home. I'm tired of being stuck in Gundam Vietnam," and then walks off.
They're too Japanese for the Vietnam theme. I'm sorry. Maybe in the American live action adaptation. Maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, if we ever do one, that's not G-Savior.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Canadian,
to see that.
I believe.
But, okay, that's why. Okay, that's why it sucks.
I can't wait to see Rambo versus the Zaccarello. You know.
The what?
Yeah. I can't wait to see Rambo versus the Zaccarello. Hello.
But yeah, that's pretty much MS Igloo in a nutshell. But yeah, go out and check it out if you're, a UC fan or know something about the original Gundam series.
I do want to chime in that my only complaint about the second batch of the Battlefront thing, I think, or the last set of OVAs.
Yeah.
My only complaint is that I don't get what was with the Shinigami.
Yeah, it's weird.
It was like it just doesn't really fit with the rest of the 1-year war stuff. It just kind of sticks out there.
Or the franchise at all, you know?
Well, yeah. That too.
Yeah. That really disturbed me.
It didn't really go anywhere. Like, I mean, I thought it was going to be building up to something, but no.
It was like they're trying to add depth to, like, some character dying. If I could just have the character dying, like, you know, because of just bad consequences or that's just war, then that would have been okay. But they're, like, trying to add some sort of depth to, like, why they died and everything. And it was up to the Shinigami, and I was like, whatever. That MS battle was cool with a tank. I don't care.
Yeah.
That second episode was pretty cool because it kind of reminded me of, like, fucking Moby Dick. Gotta go after the white whale. Gotta go after the white ogre.
Arr, that white ogre will be out there.
Not gonna lie, I can't honestly suggest that people watch MS Igloo. I mean, the Shinigami aesthetic really works against the World War II aesthetic that they do actually manage to build up very well. And I don't know, I can't talk about the other two parts of MS Igloo that I haven't seen, but just judging from this, this is kind of a terrible thing to watch. Chances are, if you are a UC fan, then you're going to watch this anyways, if you already haven't, because you're kind of desperate for anything right now.
Yeah.
I can lie.
Waiting for episode 5.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of like, regarding action-packed, like, MS action and everything, this is kind of like what was there before we got Unicorn.
Yeah. Unicorn is much better, but I mean,
oh yeah,
this has. I mean, the animation is. We haven't talked about that at all, but it's like the spirits within animation. You know, it's really like
gross,
realistic, but not real. You know, it's kind of weird.
I've said this. I remember saying this in our GoGo 13 review about CG. It's dated. Like when something CG comes out, it looks cool. You look at it 5-10 years from now, it's going to look really dated because technology is advancing so much.
Yeah, but this is recent. I mean, like, it's not 80s like Golgo. I saw it a few years ago, and it looks like, you know, I mean, it's good, but it's like, it's so realistic that it's almost like, why didn't they just film it with real people, you know?
Yeah, and some of the animation for the arms were like, when they go to talk, it's like they throw it down faster than what it should normally be, and it's... I mean, it's something, again, it's kind of like watching a video game cutscene about Gundam.
Yeah, it does look like a video game, you're right.
I mean, granted, like, when it comes to video game cutscenes that have CG in it, that's about probably the best thing I like to look at, other than playing the game sometimes, depending on the game itself. But, I mean, I when it comes to CG and anime, I can't bash it too well. I mean, this is coming from someone who loves Initial D. And look where Initial D came from the first stage into where it is now, in terms of CG cars.
Okay, all right. If we're holding it up to the standard of Initial D and the amazing state-of-the-art animation in Golgo 13, okay, not that bad.
I'm not holding it up to standard. I'm just kind of doing a little bit of a comparison to the two, or between the three.
Well, I mean it's kind of like putting a flower next to a turd. Well, not even a turd, just a rock next to a turd.
But it's a mother beautiful rock. It could be. That rock probably looked really good before you put that flower there.
Maybe, whatever.
Unless it was a gold rock, in which it would be just be gold. Well, no, that wouldn't make any sense, because the gold would look better than the flower. I messed that up.
But yeah, see, what if the turd were gold?
I'd rather have the gold than the flower.
So you're saying
we're missing
the
point, guys. I think we're missing the point.
This show is not gold. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm not sure it's even a flower.
Listen,
it's all right. You should watch it now.
Guys, probably. Listening, if you knew everything that we're talking about, chances are you've already seen this. Chances are you already have. And if you don't and you're a UC fan, you're going to watch this. You know you will. You know you will.
It comes standard.
Yeah.
And if you're just a normal human being, you have no business watching this. Just saying.
Or listening to this podcast, probably, until you see it.
Yeah, or listening to Toon Radio at all.
Well, I mean, this is the Aryan Brotherhood podcast, so, I mean, you know, you got to get some Germans listening to this. Ah, yeah. I mean, I might not be white. I might be pretty black myself, but, you know, whatever.
Well, hopefully we get some more Japanese listeners to this one. Unite the
I don't even know if like the Japanese listeners will ever find our podcast. I mean,
we had, like,
unless
one...
they know English really well. What?
I think we had like one listen from Japan one time, but that was it.
Yeah, the one time though.
Yeah, I don't think he came back. I don't think he was impressed. But oh well.
I don't blame
him. It was probably a lonely American. Oh,
yeah. So yeah, we're at like 54 minutes. Should we end it?
Looking for his
Are
wide
you serious?
Brothers.
Yeah. We managed to take up the whole episode with Igloo. I'm kind of surprised.
I'm surprised too. Well, we had that 10-minute rant in the beginning about me trying to introduce CG with our new thing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We didn't even talk about arcade games.
That's also true. CG's gone now. I wonder where it went. All right. Well, yeah. I guess that's it. Do we have closing remarks, Josh?
More in the pocket next week.
That's true. Zionic?
SD Gundam Capsule Fighter is really cool. You can get it from OG Planet. It's a free MMO. You should play it. I was wanting to talk about it for a little bit, but it's a fun game.
We'll do it next week if we have time. Jefferson?
You might, yeah.
Any closing remarks? Guess not.
Ron Paul.
Yeah, I forgot
Go
to say that.
Ron Paul!
I forgot to say that last week.
We forgot to say for the past 2 months, I think. He's in the lead. Like, he's kind of... He's not in the lead, but he's, like, in the race still.
The primaries are coming up soon, too. Mm. Yeah, he's in, like, second in Iowa.
Yeah, anyway. Herman Cain dropped out.
My man, Herman Sugar Cane!
The Cain train got in a bit of a collision. Okay.
Would have voted for him.
I guess that's it. Bye. 55 minutes.
Christmas in Side 6. This neutral colony holds the last emotional tale of the one-year war. Peace is shattered when Zeon's spies appear, and a young boy named Alfred is caught in the crossfire. On the next Cool Kids Club, Gundam Month Week 4, War in the Pocket. In war, everyone's a casualty.
Discard Skype, radio graffiti. Nigger. 100% racist. Nigger. You son of a bitch. I never said that, you sorry sack of crap. I never said that, you spicy shit. I never said that. I never freaking said that. goddamn mic. You goddamn splicers, all right? You're getting on my freaking nerves, all right? You're getting on my goddamn nerves! I'm not a racist, assholes, all right? I'm not a goddamn racist.